Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I'd like to welcome up Mavi, who's been a part of this congregation for, we talked about it last service, for just about, just shy of 2 years. Mavi and her family have come to this congregation in search of the Spirit in their lives. Mavi, in particular, came out of a faith tradition that she found troublesome, a faith tradition that said different things about who God is than her experience of God. And so Mavi, like many of us who are here, had to go through a period of really wrestling about who God is in our lives and how do we understand God to be that may sometimes be different than how some portray the God of love and compassion and grace. And so let's welcome Mavi as she brings our message today.
Oops, sorry.
Good morning. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
I don't know if you guys know it, but Pastor Bob's celebrating a birthday today. I'm particularly grateful to spend today here with you all and for Bob's music in the morning and his words that he gives our children. I think it's really important. I'm also very honored to be speaking with you today as part of the stewardship series on generous living. Over the past week, I spent a lot of time thinking about the spirit of generosity and what happens to us when we give, both the emotional and spiritual changes that occur within us. This morning, we heard Paul's words in the scripture reading from Acts. We hear him speak about the promise of the inheritance. That's the particular word that stood out to me when I read these words this week. We get this idea of having this future prize, or this future reward in heaven. It's not new to us. We've actually heard this a lot as Bible students with the children of Israel wandering through the desert in search of the promised land. Also, we are instructed to lay up store our treasures in heaven. And for me, it's always been a little bit challenging to accept this idea that I've got to live this life and wait until after I die to experience this great reward. I do believe that it's there for us, but today, instead of talking about that future inheritance, I'd like to share with you how giving blesses us now in this life that we have to live. You see, our giving doesn't just pay for this place that we come to worship and hear God's word on Sunday, or the person who delivers the word to us in the morning, or the musicians that inspire us during our worship. Our giving blesses us in so many other ways. You see, the act of giving has this really special force and energy. In my normal work day, I work in marketing, and I've had the opportunity in my career to work with a lot of speakers and authors and coaches and people that are genuinely trying to make an impact and a positive change in the world. So I get a lot of energy talk. And one of the things that a lot of these people believe in that I think has a lot of value in is the idea that generosity is a really powerful, powerful energy. It puts us in a mindset of abundance and gratitude. You see, when you give, the energy puts out and in. So it goes outward and inward immediately at the same time. And although we can see the effects of our generosity on other people, we see the smiles on people's face when we give them a card, we can see the money that we share here in our contributions go to work in our ministries. We don't always see or recognize the impact that it has on us. And that's what I want to talk about today. I believe that giving transforms our minds and our hearts. When we give a gift of our time or our service, our hearts are open to be filled and nourished with joy and purpose. We have the opportunity to inspire others, which in return helps us to feel happier. Have you ever wondered why it is that you feel happy when you give or when you help other people? It's because giving does some pretty cool science to our brains. When I grew up, I didn't have a whole lot of science in my education. It was kind of viewed as the enemy of the church and of God. And when I hear that there's science that backs up our beliefs, it makes me feel like everything we're doing works together for a purpose. And what giving does is particularly cool to me. It releases a hormone in our brain called oxytocin. That's the love hormone. We see a lot of oxytocin in mothers as they're caring for their children. So we're all alive still, and we survived our infancy because of oxytocin. I don't know if you've experienced toddlers. We've got a few of them in our family right now, and there's some times where I wonder why they survived. But it's because of oxytocin. Oxytocin also boosts other happy chemicals like dopamine and serotonin. And studies have shown that people who have more oxytocin give more to charitable organizations. And they don't care where the money is going to come from. They only care that it's going to do good. And when they give, they get more oxytocin. And then they give more. So we create this cycle of giving. We see that giving begets more giving. The other cool thing about this oxytocin that our giving does is it reduces cortisol, which is our stress and worry hormone. And the thing about cortisol is that it can last in our system for years. So when you've had a negative experience with a person or an environment, it's hard to let go because we are flooded with this cortisol. And our bodies need to be replenished with oxytocin. So God has this all-natural stress reducer, which is to help each other. And I think that's pretty amazing. So I experienced a little bit of stress this week getting ready for this talk. I was wondering, you know, when do I say this part and how am I going to illustrate giving in life? And I was thinking about the prayers that I say to myself during our offering time. I ask for more opportunities to give during the week, and I pray for discernment and to let go of the judgment that I have on giving. For me, it has been a struggle to just give freely at times because I was raised to believe that people have to deserve what I've earned, and they have to earn that for themselves. And then I've got to worry about what they're going to do with it. If I give someone a dollar, I have to worry that they're going to do something good with it or they're not going to do something bad with it. And so when I pray to let go of that and trust that God will just take care of the rest because my business isn't to worry about what's going to happen next. My business is to give. So a few days ago, as I was driving in my car home to go to work, I was thinking about all these things. I tend to be an overthinker. I'm a recovering perfectionist. And my time is usually pretty budgeted. I don't have a lot of extra time in the morning, so I do most of my thinking as I'm driving. It's been responsible for a couple of wrong turns here and there. And I wanted to stop and get breakfast. I wanted to just get a bagel and a coffee that I didn't make for myself. So I pulled up to the bagel shop. And I got out of the car, and this lady yells at me, and she says, hey, lovely. And I kind of looked around like, you talking to me, you know? And she says it again. She says, hey, lovely lady. And I said, yeah, hi, how are you? And she says, well, will you buy me a bagel? And I said, yeah, I'll buy you a bagel. And she says, and a coffee? And I said, yeah, let's go get breakfast. And I asked her what her name was, and she told me she was Kay. So we go into the bagel shop, and we order our food, and she asks if she can have some orange juice, too. And I said, yeah, sure. And so we get our coffee and our drink, and we sit down waiting for our food. And she stops, and before she does anything else, she bows her head and she prays. And she thanks God for the blessings that she has and for the food that we're going to eat. And at that moment, everything that I had been worried about just left my mind. Because here I have a person, I have no idea what's going on in her life. I can make a lot of judgments about it if I wanted to. I could probably speculate. But all she cared about was that she was thankful in that moment for this time that she had and this food that she had. And all I could say to her was, thank you. And I went back to the question that I had written down earlier in the day, where does this go? And I feel like God answered me in that moment by saying, right here, right now. Giving happens now. And God has a way of showing us what we need, even when we don't know what we're asking for. I share this with you because I want you to know that God will always give us the opportunity to be generous and experience the blessing of giving. And it's not just for the benefit of others. It helps us to be filled. Jesus tells us that we are to love one another so that our joy will be complete. Generosity is an expression of love that brings us joy. And joy is abundant. Everybody in this world and universe gets to have joy. Giving also restores our trust and faith and helps us to let go of uncertainty. I want us to think back to Paul here in Acts and give you a little bit of context to what's going on in the scene. He's saying goodbye to the leaders at Ephesus. These are men who he has entrusted with the growth of the church. And he's saying goodbye to them forever. See, we have Paul and the apostles and the scripture. We have access to all of that all the time. But we get to look at everything that's happened with hindsight. We know that everything that they did in this time is still helping people thousands of years into the future. Knowing that they're going to go through some really big hardships ahead, Paul reminds them of Jesus' words, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And what is interesting is that we don't hear those words from Jesus in our Gospels. But I believe that they would have been to his followers as famous as the golden rule that we know. I imagine being these elders, I think that I'd have questions. I think I want to know, is all of this going to be worth it? Paul's telling them that they're going to be wolves coming after their sheep, that people that they trust are going to betray them. And you got to remember, they understand betrayal at this time in early Christianity. They know that pain. And they need to go forward to do the work that Paul is telling them they have to do with faith, prayer, and a whole lot of uncertainty. And I think a lot of us can relate to that uncertainty. I know I can. When I came to this church a couple years ago, it was after my family had experienced a series of unimaginable tragedies. We lost three of my cousins, two of which were under the age of 10, to domestic violence. And less than 2 months later, my little brother lost his battle with mental illness. And then just to round out the year, because we hadn't been through enough, my dog died on Christmas night. So I had been through enough at that point. My life was upside down and backwards. I didn't trust anything. I went through what some call a faith crisis. And for me, what that looked like was removing Bibles from our home. I categorically classified all the things that I'd ever learned about God as a lie. Because how could this God that I had known and grown to love allow these things to happen? You know, I learned that this is pretty common after the type of trauma we had gone through. I was spiritually and emotionally depleted. And I knew that if I was going to survive for one more minute in this life, that I was going to need something to help me go forward. I didn't believe in anything, but at the same time, I knew that everything is possible because we as a family had gone through what we had expected to be impossible. At that time, I was asked to sing in the choir. I think that Ron Jesse knew that I needed something to do with my time that was going to help fill me up. And it was through service, singing, and fellowship that my soul became nourished again. And after everything that I had experienced, it was giving. And the fellowship here at this church, Pacific Beach United Methodist, that my faith became restored. And I started to be able to take care of myself and my family. And there's something really special about belonging to a community that you can make a contribution to. We do that here. So when I read Bible verses about people that are going through despair and uncertainty, I relate on a whole new level. These elders needed something to help them go forward. Without Paul, they would need to have faith and trust that somehow God would take care of the rest. And Paul gives them, through Jesus' words here, a way to help them recover. This is one of those times when I really cheer Paul on for saying the right thing. I don't always agree with Paul. Bob and I have gone through several discussions about how I feel about some of the lessons he gives us. I believe that he is a human being who had a lot of cultural pressures going on. But this is one of those times when I think he gets it just right. He gave them a mission and a purpose and a way to take care of each other. And even more than this, he reminds us of a promise that we have in Christ. And it's not just this promise of a future inheritance. It's not just our heavenly treasures. When we give, the promise of the restoration of our souls is realized. And it's always available to us. It's not just putting the roof over our heads here, in the pews, and the books, and the music, and our preacher. It's not just the stuff, that's not what it's about. It's about the people in this place. It's about the people out there that you haven't met yet. It's the lady asking for a cup of coffee or breakfast. It's the kid who needs new shoes. It's your friend that needs you to pick up the phone because their day isn't going so well and they just need somebody to listen. And it's always available to us. So I urge you to look, hear, and listen. Do the work that Paul asked these elders so many years ago. Care for the weak and experience the joy that is our inheritance now. My prayer is that all of us will go out in the world this week and find the opportunity to give, and I hope that you'll take note of what happens when you do. Thank you.
Holy God, as we are gathered here this day, we remember that we are strengthened by gathering together in spirit. We are strengthened by gathering together in community. We not only have the opportunity to be strengthened, to be lifted up, but also to give of our strength and our peace and our hope to others as well. As we are gathered in this time of worship this day, we lift up those communities in particular that are affected by the wildfires around California. Not only for those who have lost property, pets, those who have lost loved ones, but also a prayer of strength and gratitude for those who are fighting these fires, protecting others. God, we offer all these things to you and any of our prayers that are left unsaid. As we join together in praying the prayer taught to us by your Son, our Christ, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.